Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this week's podcast. This week, it's a little bit different. We will be having the highlights of this week's joint family service at St Giles, where we welcomed one and all to celebrate coming back together as one body, and then followed it with our annual church barbecue in the churchyard. And we didn't want anyone to be left out. So please listen and join in with us as we have this highlighted service where we listen to Nigel's sermon, sing with the choir and congregation, pray with our intercessions with the Weatherall family, and be part of this wonderful act of worship. So let us begin by saying together these words. Be strong, do not fear. God, our God, is here with us. Come with your fears, your doubts, your anxiety. Come just as you are. You are welcome in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's turn to our Bibles now and to the Gospel of Mark, beginning at chapter 7, verse 24. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and would not have anyone know it, yet he could not be hid. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came down and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek of Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out for her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children first be fed, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this saying you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they besought him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the multitude privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to the heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," which is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And he charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak." So we hop into our St Giles service now and join Nigel as he is opening God's word.
You know, at first glance, today's reading is simply an account of a couple of nice miracles which made a desperately anxious mum and a poor deaf mute man very happy bunnies. Happy bunnies? Now they'd have been much more than just happy. Surely they would have been over the moon, beside themselves with joyful excitement. In a word, ecstatic. But you know, I think there's quite a bit more we can take from these two stories. The first thing to say is that we are seeing something of Jesus the man. Oh yes, Jesus was on one level as one with God, the Son of God. But at the same time, there was Jesus the man, a very human being. A man of his time and his Jewish race. Intriguing, we have no description of Jesus' physical appearance. Nowhere. But I suppose that could be because the appearance of Jesus, the man, the human being, well, it's totally irrelevant. All that really matters is what he represents, what he said, and what he did. Because Jesus, the Son of God, is the key to eternal life. However, we can be pretty sure that he was nothing like the blue-eyed, fair-haired, tall, elegantly robed white man depicted in so many by so many artists in Europe, by so many European artists down the centuries. All the evidence points him being in appearance, similar in appearance to his disciples, whom he didn't seem to stand out from, or critically at least. We can be reasonably confident that Jesus didn't stand out, because when Judas Iscariot came with the Roman soldiers to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas had to identify Jesus by kissing him. So Jesus, the man's appearance, mirrored that of his fellow Jews, who would typically have been about 5 foot 5 inches, or for you who like foreign measurements, 1 meter 65 centimeters tall, not very tall at all, with brown eyes, short black hair, olive brown skin, and a trim beard, not quite like Scruffy Nigel's beard. A very ordinary sort of chap, just like any other human being, and having all the usual aches and pains, knowing hunger and thirst, and experiencing human emotions like joy and sadness, even anger. You remember he even wept at his friend Lazarus' tomb, just before he miraculously raised him from the dead. And just like Greta Garbo, he also at times wanted to be alone. Greta who? Greta Garbo, a very talented Swedish-born film star of the 1920s and 30s, who the older ones amongst us will remember, who was famous for saying, "I want to be alone." In fact, there are many examples of when Jesus the man wanted some quiet time to avoid the attention that the stories of his miracles attracted. That's why he told the deaf mute and his friend not to tell anyone. Well, they took much notice, and just as on other occasions, the more he said don't tell, the more people kept talking about it. Similarly, in the first of today's miracles, Jesus crossed over the border into the region of Tyre, which today is the fourth largest city in Netherlands, because he wanted to avoid the crowd that had been some quiet. Want to avoid the crowds and have some quiet time with his disciples. But there was a fat chance of that. And even though he had moved into what was expected the Gentile country, this Jewish miracle worker's fame had spread far and wide. Shortly after entering that house, a desperate mother came to plead with Jesus, cast the unclean spirit out of her daughter. I suppose today is doctors would have a fancy word to describe the child's condition, most ending in a sounding a bit like Latin and ending in a enya or obia. Whatever the illness, for sure it was serious and ruining the child's life. Now this lady was Syrophoenician, and to her Jesus would have been a brilliant foreigner. But she was clearly at her wit's end, and like a drowning man catching at the shore, she swallowed her pride, prostrated herself at his feet, begging Jesus to drive the unclean spirit out of her daughter. Jesus' response in the first reading, untypical, to put it mildly. I would imagine Jesus shaking his head as he replies, "I must feed the children first. You do no good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Amazingly, this mother doesn't react to this insult of being likened to a dog, as most folks might or do. Instead, she remains polite and calm in her single-minded determination to get help for her daughter, even accepting the inferior status Jesus appears to be giving her as she responds, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table may eat of the children's crumbs." After this answer, we can almost see the kindly smile on Jesus' face as he tells Mum, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when she gets home, no doubt breathless with running with excited anticipation. It was just as Jesus said, the daughter was lying in her bed, whole and healthy. Now, as I said earlier, this is a nice story with a happy ending. But there's also some good news for everyone who isn't Jewish. When Jesus said, "I must feed the children first," he doesn't say only feed the children, i.e. the Jewish people. He just says feed them first. So some are first, and it stands to reason others, i.e. non-Jews, will also be fed or included, albeit second. And you know, even in the Old Testament, there is a number of indications of God's concern for the whole of humanity. For example, in Isaiah 49, verse 6, we read, "The Lord said to Isaiah, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach out to the end of the earth." God really did intend this message for everyone. So all we Gentiles, irrespective of our race, our colour, our physical appearance or intellect, we're also in God's rescue plan. And you know something? It's not just that our God never makes mistakes. It's more that in everything he's absolutely perfect. He gets everything right. And that's why I think God decided that Jesus the man should have looked as he did. As I said earlier, in all probability, he was pretty average in every way. Even his skin colour was about halfway between black and white. So Jesus the man really was as close as possible to everyone. Clearly, God sent his son for every man, as it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his own one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Which to me is totally mind-blowing. But it doesn't stop there. Because once we have accepted in our heads and our hearts the truth that Jesus really has purchased for us the opportunity to enjoy everlasting life, then this life also becomes easier to deal with. That's not to say that Christians will be protected from all the ups and downs, the highs and lows of living in this world and spending their time permanently on Easy Street. Oh no. Life won't always be a bed of roses, not a bit of it. But real relief from this world's woes is available to followers of Jesus. As he promised in Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all who are labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In other words, whatever problems this life has dumped on you, and one thing is certain, into every life some bad stuff will fall. But equally certain, Jesus can and wants to help. Not necessarily with a miracle, as in the case of a deaf mute or a disturbed child, but by helping you to cope, to overcome. And how? By letting us use his yoke. And what's a yoke? Well, it's not the golden yellow bit you find in an egg. It's a piece of wood carved to fit over a person's shoulders and sticking out of it on both sides with ropes or chains hanging down on which heavy loads could be attached for carrying. So instead of using your arms to carry things, the load would be just on your leg, which is much stronger. And how do I know all this? Well, as a youngster many years ago, I used a yoke on the farm where I worked. Unfortunately, my yoke, unlike Jesus' one, didn't fit me that well. It was designed for a grown man, not a young man. So my yoke wasn't easy, and it didn't make my burden that comfortable or light. Now, I'm sure, like me, some of you have learned to rely on Jesus' yoke. which is always a perfect fit, and really does make our burden light, helping us to cope with the nasty stuff life piles on us. If you're still not sure, please don't put it on with something to do power, because it's much more important than that. It really should be on the top of everyone's to-do list. Amen.
So that was Nigel preaching on Mark 7 and encouraging us to really reflect on our welcome and how to be together as God's people. We then stood and sung together, "Your Grace is Enough." So join with us now as we sing this song of praise together, led by our choir. Singing along with us as we sang at St Giles that Sunday morning. Now the Wetherills came and they did our intercessions for us and will be leading us now in our prayers. Thank you so much to Matthew, Deborah, Theo and Grace. They did such a wonderful job. Join with them now.
As we join you together in prayer, the response to Lord in your mercy today is, hear our prayer. Dear Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day, for the opportunity to come together as a church family, to worship together and enjoy joyful fellowship at the barbecue. As we enter a new season, we pray that our congregations will have the confidence to return to church and that we will continue to grow in faith as a church family. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your blessing on all our church ministries. As the new term begins, we lift up to you baby steps, our life groups, and Knit and Natter. We ask for wisdom and discernment for Natasha, the church organs and PCC, and all our church leaders. Lord, we particularly pray for the children and young people attending KIC and 7UP in the coming year. We pray that they will grow in their knowledge and love for you, and that you would continue to inspire and speak to their group leaders. We pray that as your church, you will shine as lights to go coaches, grow in faith over the coming season, and draw others to you. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, in the week when many children and young people have returned to nursery, school and college, we lift them up to you now. We pray that children everywhere would feel safe, be protected and grow not only as learners in the year ahead, but also grow in kindness, love and resilience. We remember particularly those children throughout the world who are denied access to education because of their background, ethnicity or gender, and those who have been locked out of education for the last 18 months due to COVID. We remember particularly the children of Afghanistan, India and Nepal. Lord, empower those working for justice for those children that they may bring about the change they and others so long to see. In our village, we ask for your blessing on the schools and Stoke Poges and all who work there. And we pray for all those who have received a calling on their lives to work in education. And we pray for strength, wisdom and energy for them in the year ahead. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As we look wider than Stoke Poges, we pray for the world's news. We pray for peace in Afghanistan, particularly for women, girls and all those living in fear of their lives at this time. Today is recognised as Climate Sunday, and you, Lord, entrusted us with your creation on earth. In our prayers for the earth, we start by lifting up all those recently affected by climate-induced disasters, including floods in Germany and the US, wildfires in the US, Turkey, Greece and Siberia, and unusually bad monsoon rains in the Nepalese and Indian Himalayas. We pray that as individuals, you would inspire us to play our part in being good stewards over your creation. We particularly pray for organisations highlighting climate change in the run-up to November's COP26 climate conference. And that's including Tear Fund, Christian Aid, AROSHA and Christian Climate Action. And we also pray for governments and world leaders to act responsibly and honour their commitments to limiting man-made impacts on our climate. We also pray that you will bless all those involved with the pilgrimage walk that starts in London today and ends in 8 weeks' time at the climate conference in Glasgow. Lord, in your mercy.
Dear Father God, please help us to stop climate change and protect the earth. Thank you for the eco-garden and everyone who is working in it. Thank you for helping the plants, vegetables and flowers grow this summer. Please help the rest of the seeds we have planted grow. Please help more people to come to the Eco Garden and find your peace and love there. Lord, in your mercy.
Dear Father God, thank you for all the amazing animals, birds and sea creatures in your world. Please help us to protect them. Thank you for all the wildlife in the Eco Garden, especially the worms, the bees and bumblebees, the woodlice and all the insects, bugs and butterflies. Please help us to look after them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, we bring before you now all those who are suffering. We ask for peace and healing to the sick, the lonely, those struggling with or without work, and those suffering from the after effects of COVID. Let us now say in our heads or speak out loud the names of those on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen. And so, as the whole body of Christ, let's conclude these prayers with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
So as a final highlight, and to conclude this family service podcast, we sung together, O for a Thousand Tongues. So please join with us now, and the choir, all at St Giles, singing this wonderful hymn of praise.
Thank you.
joining us for this week's podcast. It was wonderful to be able to bring together face-to-face and online services in this way. So let's conclude with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Stay safe and God bless, and we'll see you again next week.